You are listening to a teaching from Reality LA.
Hey church, I hope you're doing well. These are disorienting times, but we gather together on Sundays, even if digitally, to recenter our hearts on God. And that's what we're going to do now. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and grab it. Open up to the book of Philippians. And while you turn there, I want to take a minute to take up our offering. If you're not a part of our church, then don't worry about giving. This is something that we do as a family. But for those of you who are a part of our church, this is a way that we pool our resources together to be able to serve one another and to love our city. And so we do that every week. We want to be a generous people because we serve a generous God, and there are so many needs right now. And so if you want to give, you can do that through PushPay. It's an app that you download. You can get it at the App Store on your smartphone, and just search Reality LA in there, and we will give joyfully and sacrificially, and we will trust the Lord to do a great work with all of that. Okay, so I'm going to be preaching on Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. We started a new series last week in the book of Philippians that we are calling Defiant Joy. This is a difficult, strange time, but we refuse to let our joy be determined by our circumstances. And so today we're going to be talking about unexpected gratitude. And so I'm going to be reading Philippians 1, verses 3 through 11, and then I'll open our time with a word of prayer. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is God's word. Let's pray together. God, we come before you needing your grace to intervene and bring change in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you for your word. And God, we pray today through the preaching of your word that you would give us perspective, that you would give us direction, and that you would fill us with courage to keep going, to keep following Christ in the midst of a difficult time in all of this pandemic. Lord, we just look to you. And we continue to cry out on behalf of our city, Lord, for those who are sick, for those who are grieving loss, for those who have lost work and are struggling with needing financial provision. God, we look to you as our hope. In a time where things that we've placed our hope in have been stripped away, we look to you, and we look to you with faith, with expectancy, believing that you are at work in all of this. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, today we're talking about gratitude. And you might hear that and think, how can we talk about gratitude in the middle of a pandemic? How insensitive. Come on, people are suffering and struggling, and you want to talk about gratitude? Well, you could put the same question to the Apostle Paul. He was in prison. He was suffering greatly. He's literally awaiting his death, and he's writing a letter to a church that is experiencing persecution. And yet, the very first words that come out of his mouth after the greeting in this letter to the Philippians is this: I thank my God. How can Paul talk about gratitude in a time of adversity? Why would we talk about gratitude in a time of suffering? Because it's the kind of gratitude that transcends our circumstances. It's the kind of gratitude that can coincide with grieving and lament. It's the kind of gratitude that gets us through difficult times. But here's the thing. I can't tell you to feel grateful. It doesn't work. I mean, look, let's try. Ready? Be grateful. See, it didn't work. It didn't do it, right? That's because you can't manufacture gratitude. What you have to do is cultivate it. And so what can we do to cultivate gratitude? Well, there are three ways that I want to teach you based off of this passage in Philippians 1. Three ways to cultivate gratitude. And the first is this. Remember what God has done. All right, look at verse 3, how he starts off here. And he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Remembrance cultivates gratitude. I certainly experienced this this last week. Last Sunday, I watched The Last Dance, the documentary that came out about the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan. And man, it was just bringing back all the memories. It was like reliving my childhood with my children walking along with it and watching along with it. And it just brought back all these memories for me. I thought about my dad taking my brother and I to see Michael Jordan play against the Seattle Supersonics in 1992. I thought about getting my first pair of Jordans in 93. They were the threes, black, red, with the cement gray. I remembered the friends that I was with in 98 when Jordan hit the shot against the Utah Jazz. See, my remembrance just stirred up gratitude. I was overwhelmed with it. And that's exactly what's happening with the Apostle Paul. He's thinking back. He's remembering these memories with the church in Philippi. He's thinking back to the start of the church, what we learned about last week in Acts 16. Remember, you had this mob beating and then an earthquake and then a jailbreak. And what comes out of all of that? A church plant, of course. He's remembering that. He's remembering the people, Lydia, the jailer and his family, the little girl. He remembers them, and this remembrance cultivates gratitude, and then that gratitude produces joy. Let's keep going in the passage. Let me start at verse 3 again. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Joy. This is the first of a dozen times that Paul mentions joy in this letter to the Philippians. And every time that note is sounded, it's going to build into an orchestra of deep, lasting, beautiful joy. But see, joy, what we're seeing here, flows from gratitude. And just think about it. Grateful people are joyful people. And that kind of joy and gratitude is not dependent on external circumstances. You see, joy is not the absence of trials. It's the life-giving presence of God in the midst of trials. And throughout Philippians, we're learning about defiant joy. Yeah, this is a difficult time, but there's still so much to be grateful for. So I want to challenge you, don't let all the changes blind you to what is unchanging. Don't let the losses rob you of all that you still have. Don't let the need to lament make you think that there's not need to also give thanks. See, it would be easy to think that lament and giving thanks are opposites. Like, you can't do both of them. Like, if I'm going to lament, how could I ever give thanks? Or vice versa. But I would say that gratitude and lament are not contradictory. In fact, I would say that they're two sides of the same coin. We've learned this during this season more than ever. Loss actually helps us to be grateful for things that we used to take for granted. Think about that in our lives right now. May we never take for granted again being able to gather together in person as the church and exalt Christ. May we never take for granted hearing the voices of others sing as we sing. May we never take for granted being able to go and sit next to a friend who's hurting and just be with them. May we never take for granted a handshake, a hug, being near to people that we love. This is something that I hope that we learn through this time. As we lament, that our gratitude actually grows for things that maybe we once took for granted. And that actually stirs up in us a desire, looking forward to being able to experience those things once again. And so I would encourage you to lament in this time, but also to give thanks to the Lord. There's so much to be thankful for in all of this. And so whatever comes your way, you really have two options. You can either take things for granted or receive them with gratitude. And so let this be a time where we learn not to take things for granted, but to receive them with gratitude, and to do so in every circumstance. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Now, it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because we know that God is with us in them. He's with us in those circumstances. Let's keep going in Philippians 1. Look at verse 6. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Paul says, "And I am sure of this, with all the uncertainty, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And so he's remembering, and now we see that looking back on God's faithfulness is giving him confidence for moving forward. And the point that he's making here is simple. God finishes what he starts. He doesn't just start a work of grace and then leave it to you to finish through your effort. No, the Lord saves and he sustains. What he starts, he finishes. This reminds me of plans that someone had in Chicago years ago. They were going to build a building that was going to be called the Chicago Spire. This building would be 150 stories tall. It was going to be the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere. The plan started in 2005. They broke ground in 2007, and they built a foundation. I mean, this is one of the biggest, strongest foundations ever built. And that was in 2007. And then, of course, in 2008, you had the financial recession that came into play. Everything got put on hold on that. And to this day, the foundation is still sitting there in Chicago, in the heart of Chicago. See, they never built on it. They had a great idea. They got off to a great start. It was a good work, but the builders couldn't finish what they started. God's not like that. God always finishes what he starts. And some of you especially need to hear that today, because you can look back and see that God's done a great work in your life in the past. But right now you look at your life and you think, "I'm not sure. Can I get through this? Can I hold on? Can I endure in all of this?" I want you to hear, God can get you through this. Christian, God will get you through this. Why? Because God finishes what he starts. And so this is a time where we need to cultivate gratitude. How do we do that? Well, first, we remember what God has done. But second, we trust in what God is doing. We shift here from the past to the present. And look at verses 7 and 8 in Philippians 1. Paul goes on and he says in verse 7, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to notice here the present tense of the verbs that he's using. I hold you in my heart, not I held you in my heart. He says, you are all partakers with me of grace. He doesn't say you were partakers of grace with me. And think about this. Paul's in prison. There's literally a wall between him and the church of Philippians, let alone hundreds of miles, right? And so here he is in prison, probably in isolation other than guards that are around him. And he's saying, I hold you in my heart. Now, this doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, it's either crazy or it's beautiful. But I would say that this is one of the most striking features of the book of Philippians. Paul is in prison, and yet he rejoices repeatedly in the gift of community. And I want you to see, especially here, how this is connected to gratitude. Because we often think of gratitude as an individual thing, something that I need in my heart. But Philippians is showing us that gratitude is deeply tied to relationships. Back in verse 5 that we read earlier, Paul used this beautiful phrase to describe this. He said that they have a partnership in the gospel. Partnership in the gospel. This word partnership is really rich. Paul uses it over and over and over again in Philippians. It gets translated in different ways, but it means that they share in something in common. They're bound together. They have this mutuality, but the center of their relationship, the center of this partnership is not preference or affinity or ethnicity. No, it's the gospel. This is a partnership in the gospel. And a partnership in the gospel is deep, and there's several different layers to this. First of all, it's a partnership in the gospel is spiritual. We know that they are united in Christ. We learn in Philippians 2 that they share a partnership in the Holy Spirit. In chapter 3, it says that they share in the sufferings of Christ. So this partnership in the gospel is spiritual, but it's also relational. It's deeply relational. We learn from this letter that the Philippian church sent a man named Epaphroditus to Paul to help him out. Paul then here is writing a letter back to them. It's incredibly relational, this partnership that they have. But then third, it's also financial. They are supporting him financially. I mean, turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4, and let me read to you verses 15 and 16. He says, well, actually, start in verse 14. He says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. That word share there is the same word with partnership. He says, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So the church in Philippi was supporting Paul financially in his missionary journeys. And so they have this gospel partnership that is deeply spiritual and yet plays out in the most practical ways. Now, again, I want you to see how all this is connected to gratitude. David Brooks gives some good language for this in an article that he wrote for the New York Times. He said that gratitude is a form of social glue. I love that. And according to Brooks, gratitude, and I quote him here, gratitude reminds us that a society isn't just a contract based on mutual benefit, but an organic connection based on natural sympathy, connections that are nurtured not by self-interest, but by loyalty and service. So in other words, when one person is grateful, it actually evokes gratefulness in others, which then creates a culture of gratitude in the community at large. So I want to call you to give thanks for the relationships that you have. Don't let the distance keep you from growing in depth with brothers and sisters in Christ. Be deliberate about investing in friendships and staying connected to the church, especially in this time. So to cultivate gratitude, we've got to remember what God has done. We've got to trust in what God is doing. And then third, we've got to hope in what God will do. Let me read to you verses 9 through 11 of Philippians 1. The Apostle Paul says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's as if Paul is saying, imagine the possibilities of what God can do in the midst of this. And he expresses this through prayer. I would say that prayer is the purest form of gratitude, because every gift is from above, from our Father who loves to give gifts to his children. Think about it like this. There is nothing good in your life that you can't trace back to God. Nothing. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so our natural response to that is to give thanks, to express gratitude. I mean, think about it like this. What if someone made you an incredible meal? your favorite food, favorite drink. They did all the work and they made you this meal and you sit at the table and they come and they bring you this meal and put it right before you and you get to eat it. What if they did that and you just kind of like looked at them and kind of like shrugged and just like dug in and started eating? No, you would never do that, right? Like if someone went through all this and gave you this incredible meal, you would give thanks for that, right? Well, scripture says that it's God who ultimately feeds us. It's God who ultimately provides for our needs. So may we give thanks. I mean, literally, even just eating food, we have a chance several times a day, maybe more now during quarantine time than ever. We have lots of chances when we eat to be able to just pause beforehand and give thanks and to recognize that all we have comes from the Lord. Think about it like this. What if it were up in the air whether you'd be able to breathe today or tomorrow, and someone came to you and they had a way to actually put air in your lungs? You would use that air in your lungs to give thanks, to express gratitude. Well, listen, God's the one who has put air in your lungs today. He is the giver of life. He is the giver of every gift that we have. And so may we give thanks for everything that he's given us. And we give thanks through prayer. Prayer is an expression of gratitude, but it's also an instrument to cultivate more gratitude in our lives. So I want to encourage you to be disciplined in prayer. And as we look in Philippians 1, what does Paul pray for the church in Philippi? Well, he prays that their love would abound. See, for the people of God, we're not driven by self-preservation, but by self-giving love. And God doesn't want us just to experience just enough love. No, he wants us to abound in love, knowing that God is abounding in love for us so that we can be abounding in love for one another and for our city. But then he goes on to say that love must be accompanied with knowledge and discernment. This is such an important word. During this pandemic, our passion must be coupled with wisdom. We need to follow government guidelines for public health, and yet we need to find creative ways to serve one another and to show love to our city. And so we can have hope in the midst of this pandemic because we know God's promises. We know that our future is guaranteed. We know that he will not forsake us. We know that he is working all things together for the good of those who love him. We know that he is bringing peace even now in the midst of chaos. And so, church, I just want to remind you, in all of this, we're going to get through this together. And I'm not saying it will be easy. I'm certainly not saying it will be quick. But we are going to get through this together. And saying that certainly doesn't diminish the hardship that we're all experiencing right now. And as I said before, expressing gratitude doesn't keep us from grieving as well. I've grieved deeply this week. This was a hard week. I heard of several new people in our church who now have COVID-19. I heard of several people in our church who have had family members who passed away this week. I heard of many people in our church this last week who lost their jobs. And I grieved. We're all grieving in one way or another. We got to take that to the Lord and lament. And yet, even in grieving, we can be grateful. And even as I've grieved, I can say that I'm grateful because what we have in Christ cannot be taken from us. We can be grateful that in trials that we've got one another. We can be grateful knowing that God is bringing beauty out of this brokenness. See, Paul says, I give thanks to God when I remember you and pray for you. And as I read that this week and prepared to preach, it welled up joy and gratitude in my heart for you. See, I'm certainly not the Apostle Paul, but he's writing this letter to the church that he planted. And I can't read this without feeling the same way towards you all. I pray for you every day. Our other elders, we are praying for you constantly. And as we do, we are filled with gratitude and joy, especially now. I mean, this time, it's been a test for us. It certainly is a test of faith for all of us as individuals, but for us as a church as well. And church, you've been so faithful through this. We've had to make quick decisions and communicate things really quickly in much less time than we normally would. And you've followed direction. You've responded to leadership. Community groups are rallying together. You've continued to give faithfully to the church so that we can be generous to those in the church and to our city. You've been praying throughout this time. I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude and joy as I reflect on you all during this time. I can identify with the Apostle Paul in that. Now, I started telling you that I can't tell you to be grateful or to feel grateful. We have to cultivate gratitude, but I want to close by giving you a practical challenge in a gospel declaration that I believe will cultivate deeper gratitude in our lives. And so the practical challenge is this. I would love for you to take some time this week and sit down with a piece of paper, maybe with a journal, and write down things that you're grateful for. And I would encourage you to do this, even in the way that we've seen the Apostle Paul expressing gratitude, where he's looking back into the past, he's giving thanks in the present, he's looking forward into the future. Take a few minutes and write down all the things from your past that you're grateful for. And then take a few minutes and write down things that you're grateful for right now in the present. And then take a few minutes and write down things that you're grateful for in the future, things that you're looking forward to. I did this earlier this week personally, and honestly, it just cultivated so much more gratitude in my heart. And then there's one more step with this challenge that I want you to do. After you express gratitude in that way, I want you to be deliberate about telling people in your life that you're grateful for them. Call people, send text messages, set up Zoom calls, emails, whatever it is, and just let people know that you're grateful. Don't let another day go by without telling people in your life that you are thankful for them. So that's the practical challenge, but I want to end with this gospel declaration, because when we talk about all the things that we can be grateful for, you know, there's so much that will come to mind, and as you write those things down, you'll be grateful for friends and provision and even I'm grateful that this is a time where our world is slowing down. There's so much to be grateful for. But here's the greatest thing to be grateful for, and nothing compares to it. The King of the universe loves you and has sought you out. And even though you've sinned and rebelled against him, he is for you, and he sent his son for you. And his son, Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life. Every area of our lives where we fell short, he's faithful. Everything he did was perfectly loving to the Father and to neighbor and to the world. He lived a perfect life. And yet he took that perfect life and offered it up as a sacrifice in our place. See, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus goes to the cross to die for our sins so that we can be forgiven, washed clean, made new, reconciled to God so that we can have a relationship with him. And then he rose from the grave. He's alive today. And the same power that rose Jesus from the grave can dwell in us through faith. And when we trust in Christ, when we believe in the gospel, this good news that Christ has died for our sins, rose from the grave to bring us into the kingdom of God, then we can see the immeasurable riches of God's grace that we have in Christ. We have more to be grateful for than we could ever imagine. So let me ask you this. Do you see God's grace, God's abounding grace in your life? If you do, then give thanks. Express your gratitude in prayer, in worship, and in a life lived for the glory of God. How can we be a people of gratitude in a time of difficulty? That's what we've been talking about. And we've seen in Philippians that we've got to remember what God has done, trust in what God is doing, and hope in what God will do. And then we can say with the Apostle Paul, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And for that, we will be forever grateful. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your grace, and we respond with gratitude. We give you glory. We give you all the credit. We give you all the praise. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see how gracious you've been to us, all the gifts that you've given us. But Lord, help us then by your Spirit to not rejoice merely in the gifts, but to look to the giver of the gifts and to rejoice in you, our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more audio and video content, please visit realityla.com.